Our scripture reading tonight is from Exodus 33, verses 7 through 20. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting inside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance to the tent, watching Moses until he entered. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud will come down and stay at the entrance. But the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to their tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me.' If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one sees me and lives." This is the word of our God.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we ask you who are present with us always to be present with us in a special way as we share your word together. God, one more time, we are desperate for you to fill up our words with your word. We are longing, we're thirsting for you to bring your word alive in us and through us that we might hear your voice, God, that we might, like Moses, see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We started at Epiphany kind of exploring together the thought of seeking God and what that looks like and what that means in our lives and how we take that from studying it in the scriptures and kind of applying it to our own lives. And so last week we talked about seeking God in his word, in his written word, seeing the eternal word of God, Jesus, in the written word. And tonight we're going to talk about seeking God in prayer. Like I said last week, my hope is to give you some sort of practical something to hold on to as you walk out these doors and into your everyday lives. I find several interesting things happen in the Christian world. One, we tend to take things that are very complex and try to make them very simple. We're not comfortable or content with the mystery of who God is. You know, we try to explain it and our theology, you know, I think it probably does a good job, but all theologies fail at some point because God is beyond our human understanding. And that's sort of a uncomfortable place for us to be because we value knowledge and we value education and we kind of think if we just learn enough stuff, we're going to understand who God is. And the reality of it is we will never fully understand him until we see him face to face. And he gives us understanding, he gives us wisdom, he gives us glimpses of who he is. But sometimes we need to just be able to marvel in the mystery of God, that he's complex, that we don't understand the way he does things sometimes, that his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And he's given us a promise that in the middle of what's too deep and too complex and too confusing for us, he's given us a promise that we can hold on to. And it's the cry of his ancient people. And that's that God is good. And his steadfast love endures forever. So when it's beyond our comprehension, when we can't understand, when we're wrestling to make sense of it, we can find peace in the knowledge, in the promise, in the absolute truth that God is always good and that his steadfast love will always endure. It will always last. The other thing, though, we do as Christian people is we take things that are relatively simple and we make them incredibly complex. And I think sometimes we do that with prayer. I think we do a lot of things with prayer. I think we tend to give a lot of lip service to prayer. If I asked everybody in this room, we would all say that prayer is one of the most important things we do. But sometimes if you looked at our prayer lives, you wouldn't really be able to tell that. We're often busy learning about prayer, reading books about prayer, going to Sunday school classes about prayer, preaching sermons and listening to sermons about prayer, because it's like we're looking for this magic technique, because somehow we start thinking that maybe prayer is sort of like the genie in the lamp, and if we just know how to rub the lamp the right way, if we have the right words or the right posture, then we're going to get whatever it is that we want. And all the while, we're looking for techniques and we're looking for formulas. If we, then God, God's pursuing us to invite us into a relationship with him. Not a formula, not a technique, not if I get all the right words, if I summon up all the faith I have. God says, just come and be in relationship with me. And it's one of the things that I love about this passage from Exodus 33, because Moses gives us this beautiful kind of insight into his relationship with God. He gives us this glimpse into what this thing called prayer looks like, because that's what Moses is doing. He's having a conversation with God. That's what we're doing in prayer. We're gathering together with our Father through the Son, Jesus, by means of the Holy Spirit. So we're experiencing in relationship the Trinity, and we're sharing our heart with him. That's all prayer is. And we see Moses do that. Just to remind you of a little bit of background, this passage takes place in between the giving of the Ten Commandments. God gave the Ten Commandments the first time Moses was up with him for 40 days and nights. He came down. Aaron had helped the people create the golden calf. Moses, in his anger, broke the tablets. And this passage happens in the middle of it. And then he goes back up to the mountain and spends 40 days with God. And God writes the commandments on the tablets. And when Moses comes down, And we catch the end of it at the end of what Tom read for you, when Moses asked God to show him his glory, and God winds up putting Moses in the cleft of a cave, and he passes by with all his goodness. I can't even imagine what that was like for Moses. All the goodness of God passed by him. And God himself said his name, Yahweh, the Lord, slow to anger and rich in abounding love. God said his very name, his sacred, holy name, a name that the Israelites were hesitant to say, even write. If you ever see Yahweh written in Hebrew, it's there's no vowels in it, and it's a sacred word. And yet God himself says his name in the presence of Moses, and Moses is transformed when he comes back down from the mountain, from seeing God's glory, from talking with God for 40 days and nights with the Ten Commandments. His face is glowing, and he winds up actually having to put a veil over his face. And when he goes into the tent of meeting to talk with God, he takes the veil off. And when he comes back out, he puts the veil back on. Moses is forever changed because he's been in God's presence. And somehow in the midst of Moses, who was a human being, who was fallen and fragile, just like us, somehow in the middle of his life, God's glory shone through him because he was in a relationship with God, because he spent time in the presence of God. And we see as Moses goes into the tent of meeting, when people have questions of God, when they want direction, Moses goes into the tent of meeting. Our assumption is that Joshua kind of just stayed there. He must have been in the tent there as well, just kind of stayed in that tent. But if you remember, as the Israelites were crossing the wilderness, God guided them in a pillar of cloud by day and in a pillar of fire by night, so that he was always leading them. And when the pillar stopped, the people stopped. And when the pillar moved, the people moved. So God guided them through the wilderness in these pillars of cloud and this pillar of fire. And we see that as Moses comes to talk with God, to pray, if you will, in the tent of meeting, the pillar of cloud comes and covers the door. And we're told this amazing, we read this amazing verse, we're told this amazing truth that Moses spoke to God face to face as a man does with his friend. That's the intimate relationship that Moses had with God. All this was happening while the tabernacle was getting set up, where they would soon have a place to worship God, where there was a holy of holies hidden behind a curtain, where only the high priest could go to be in God's presence. The priest represented the people in God's presence. Just like Moses, even though his brother Aaron and his descendants were the priests, Moses is representing the people with God. And so we look at Moses and we think, wow, well, yeah, that was Moses, you know. But we see Moses sharing his heart with God. The people have broken God's heart as they've chosen to worship an idol, as time and time again they've grumbled and complained and forgotten who God is. They've broken God's heart. And Moses intercedes for the people here. He says, God, you haven't told me yet. Like, are you going to continue to come with me? Because if you're not going, I'm not going. And he says this very beautiful thing. He says, God, if I've found favor with you, teach me your ways. Why? Teach me your ways, he says, so that I might know you. Know you. That was the whole reason Moses wanted to live the way God wanted him to live. It's the whole reason Moses wanted to walk in God's ways, because he knew by doing that he would get to know God. And that was his ultimate desire. And that's the promise that God offers us, is the opportunity to be in relationship with him, to know him. And again, like I said, sometimes we look at somebody like Moses and we think, well, yeah, well, like he was a hero of the faith, you know? So he was special. He did things that ordinary people can't do. But here's the reality of it. God does not have favorite children. God loves all his children with the same love. And we, who live on the other side of Calvary, have been given through the blood of Jesus Christ access into God's very presence. The writer of the book of Hebrews tells us that we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence, and that we can find help there in the time of need. He also says, the writer of Hebrews also says, that we can enter God's presence through the veil, which is the body of Jesus. And if you remember back to the Gospels, when Jesus was crucified and when he gave up his spirit, the temple, the curtain in the temple that separated the people from God, from that holy of holy places, ripped. So in Jesus, we actually have more access to God than Moses even did. Moses, like all Old Testament people, were justified by their faith that they believed God was who he was, and they believed that he would do what he promised, and that was bring Messiah. We've gotten to experience Messiah in Jesus Christ. And when we come to him, and when we surrender our lives to him, and when we say, Jesus, I need you, and I want you in my life, he gives us access into the very presence of God. And he invites us, like Moses, to come and talk with him as someone does their friend, to have that level of intimacy. And the less we talk about prayer and the more we start praying, the more we see amazing things start to happen. We see circumstances change. We see broken things healed. We see things that seem all upside down and out of sorts start straightening out. Amazing things happen when we pray. But tonight I want to think about mostly, because we're talking about seeking God, we're not talking about getting answers to prayers. Although God does answer prayers. I don't want to ever discourage you from praying for things. There's all sorts of ways we pray. And sometimes we tend to think that asking God for things or asking God to be in situations is sort of the only type of prayer there is, and there isn't. You know, those are prayers of petition. Those are prayers of supplication. As we pray for other people, those are prayers of intercession. But there are also prayers of thanksgiving and prayers of praise and prayers of confession and so many different kinds of prayers that we pray. So God answers prayers, and we should pray. You know, sometimes we say, oh, well, that's too small for God to be concerned about. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think there's anything that's too tiny for God to notice, and there's nothing too big that God can't handle. Paul says to the Philippian church this, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. So Paul gives us permission to pray about everything. Later on in to the Thessalonian church, he says this, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances because that's God's will for your life. So we're invited to pray, and we're invited to pray about small things, and we're invited to pray about things, big things. And we get to see God move as we pray. But like I said, the one thing I want to think about tonight is probably the biggest miracle of prayer, the biggest blessing of prayer. And if we're not serious about seeking God in prayer, if we're not trying to set aside time to be in God's presence, if we're not training our hearts because our hearts need to be trained, we're not training our hearts that our first response is to pray, we're missing out on probably the biggest blessing of all. And that's that as we pray, as we seek God, we're changed. And I know it's true because as I've gotten increasingly more serious about prayer over the last 10 years of my life, I've seen God change me. And I know it's not me, I know it's God. Because here's the wonder of prayer. Moses went before God and he laid out his heart. David, as we read in the Psalms, went before God and he laid out his heart. Somehow down through the ages, we've gotten to this place where we think, right, we have to have it all together. So we have to pray and we can't be weak. We can't be broken. You know, we're afraid people are going to judge us. We're afraid God's going to judge us. And here's the wonder of coming to God in prayer is that he knows us. He knows our every weakness. He knows our every broken place. He knows our every besetting sin. He knows the times we forget him. We know the time that he's an inconvenience to us. He knows the time that he gets in our way of doing and getting what we want. He knows all that about us, and he loves us. And he never stops loving us, and he never stops inviting us to come into his presence. And so if there's one safe place in the world, If there's one place in the world where we could drop our church face, when we can stop pretending that we don't hurt or we don't doubt or we're not sad or we're not depressed or we're not scared, if there's one safe place in the world, it's in God's presence. Because he's not waiting for us to pull ourselves together. He's waiting for us to come to him, that he can know us and love us, and then he can pull us together. And let me tell you, after years of trying to pull myself together, I'll tell you it works much better when we let God do it. It's lasting change. It's transformation when we let God do it. And the only way God can do it is if we get in his presence. I went through something, I don't know, probably almost 15 years ago, where my heart was really longing for something, and I started to journal. And when I looked back at my journal, it was just like, God, do this thing for me. 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 And you know what? After like several weeks of that, I started seeing myself saying, God, do this thing for me. And by the way, could you bless this person? And it's, God, do this thing for me. But then could you be in this situation for these people who are hurting? Could you bless this person? And then it was, God, do this thing for me. But could you help this person out? And could you be in this situation where somebody's hurting? And could you bless this person? And little by little by little, God started taking some of my self-absorption and helping me to pray for other people and other things. And finally, God got me to the place where I was able to say, you know what, God, whatever you want to do in that place. My heart was changed. Now, that's a lesson I have to continually learn because I continually hold on to things. I continually struggle with my desire that God do things my way. And so learning to trust God and learning to yield our life to him is a process that's ongoing. Someone once described it as having this whole pile of junk, right, in our lives. And we pick up a piece and we take it to Jesus and we say, could you take this? Could you hold this for me? Could you fix this? And he polishes it up and it's beautiful. And we celebrate God's transforming work in our lives. And then we go back to the pile and we get another piece. And we say, God, could you take this? Could you fix it? Could you help me not hold on so tight? And he does that. And I believe that we only experience that as we're spending time in God's presence, as he's showing us our heart. Because I don't know how many of you have had this experience. You're praying, right? Maybe you have somebody very difficult in your life. And we're really good at this. God, could you fix them, right? Because we do that when we hear sermons, right? Oh, gosh, I wish so-and-so was here. They really needed to hear that, you know? Like, we didn't need to hear it. But we're really good at praying, God, can you fix that person? But as we continue to put ourselves in God's presence, let me tell you what happens. And maybe you know, because maybe this has happened to you. As we're praying, God, could you fix this person? God, could you fix this person? God, could you just fix this person? If you can't fix them, could you just make me not have to deal with them? You know, again, we're invited to be honest. So let's be honest. God, could you fix this person? You know what God starts doing? He starts saying, let's not worry about that person right now. Let's look at your heart. You know, look at these hard places in your heart. Look at this judging critical spirit that you have. Look at this complete lack of compassion you have for somebody who's broken just like you are, or maybe broken in a different way than you are. And as we stand in his presence, face to face, if you will, as he shows us our heart, not with a pointing finger of judgment, not with a, you, terrible, horrible human being, but he's in love with compassion and mercy and kindness, and he shows us our heart. All of a sudden, our prayer turns into, God, could you fix this heart? Could you take this heart of stone and could you give me a heart of flesh? And you know, if you're struggling with praying, I'm gonna encourage you to do what I just did there, and that's pray the scriptures, because that's God's promise in Ezekiel that'll take our hearts of stone and it'll give us hearts of flesh. So sometimes that's our prayer. We pray the promises that God gave us in scriptures. We cannot remain the same people if we continually put ourselves in God's presence in prayer. If we continually seek Him in prayer, we cannot stay the same people. And if we do, it's because we're not listening, or we're just giving lip service to it. You know, I remember for a while I went to the Catholic Church because everybody I knew was Catholic. And I joined a charismatic Catholic prayer group at one point, and so I just went a couple times to the regular Mass. And any of you who are Catholic, you would know better than I do, but there's this prayer they say, glory to God in the highest and peace to His people on earth, and it goes all the way through. And there's this part where it says, He alone is the Holy One. He alone is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's this amazing prayer, and I'm listening to it, and people are going, You alone the Holy One, You alone the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wanted to stop and say, wait. Slow down. Do you hear what you're praying? Do you have the power in those words? We do that in our Protestant tradition. We do that with the Lord's Prayer, right? Have you ever heard people pray the Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Stop. Listen. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done here on earth the same way it is in heaven, where God's will is always done. That's an incredibly powerful prayer. And we just get through it. So we need God to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our spirit to what He wants for us. To the blessings that we rob ourselves of. Because we either give lip service, or we take it lightly, or we treat it as an obligation, instead of the wonder that prayer is. God's invitation, just like Moses, to come into the tent of meeting with a pillar of cloud, filling the place with God's glory, and to talk face to face. If you want to know God better, I encourage you, starting tonight when you leave this place, starting tomorrow morning when you wake up, take a couple minutes and set aside time for prayer. Time for you to share your heart with God, and then time just to sit and listen. You saw with Moses, Moses spoke, God answered. We don't hear God most times in an audible voice. Some people do, but for the most part, we don't. But God speaks. He speaks in a still small voice in our heart. He speaks through His word. He speaks through the circumstances of our lives. He speaks to friends and brothers and sisters that we cherish. So I just want to encourage you, no matter how serious you are now about prayer, be a little more serious. Take a little bit of time, a couple minutes, if you're just starting out, a couple minutes, sit in God's presence. Tonight when you get home, tomorrow morning when you get up, invite Him in. Respond to His invitation to come in and share your heart. Listen to what He says. You'll never, never be the same. Will you pray with me? Lord, we are so sorry. We are so sorry that we are looking for a magic word or a perfect posture or the right power to do, to get you to do what we want you to do. And You invite us into a relationship with You. We're so sorry for missing that point so much of the time. God, would You draw our hearts to Yours? Would You give us such a hunger and a thirst for Your presence that it becomes our biggest desire, that we start out the day in Your presence, God, that we invite You into our day, that we end our day in Your presence. God, we just sang it. Let it be Jesus from the rising of the sun, and let it be Jesus when it's all been said and done. God, we need You. We long, like Moses, to know You, so teach us Your ways, God, that we would know You and that we would find Your favor and that we could be transformed by You. That we could catch a glimpse of Your glory that would change us and that would show your love and power and grace to the people in our lives. God, we're so sorry. We're so sorry that we take something so valuable and we treat it so lightly. Have mercy on us and forgive us, God. And again, just draw us into your presence. Give us a hunger for you, Lord, because we long to be where you are. We thank you for the gift of prayer. We thank you that you use it to change circumstances. But we thank you even more that you use it to change us. So change us, God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.